Well, welcome everyone. I was thinking a while ago, I don't know what how many of these commencements that we've had at TTU. I've personally been involved in, I think, about eight of them, even a couple before I became pastor here. So welcome this evening. Trust we're going to have a Christ-honoring service this evening, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do for us in our midst tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Rabick if he would come and ask the Lord's blessing on our time.
Thank you, Pastor, and welcome tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you. Lord, we thank you for this school, this college, this university, where we can learn more about you and to learn more ways to go out and tell others about you. And Lord, as the Apostle Paul has done, he trained others, discipled others, and let that be the focus and joy of this class, especially this one for 2017. Lord, again, we praise you, and may all that we do be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. If you all stand and grab your hymnals, page 57, page 57. We're going to sing the first, second, and last verse.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
On the second.
By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. Till my guilty soul in pouring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
On the fourth.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, I don't hardly know how to introduce our speaker tonight. You all know him. His name is Jim Turner. I didn't realize I would be introducing him, but as we were preparing tonight, I was thinking back to those days when we were without a pastor. And the deacons asked me to preach a series on qualifications for a pastor, and it's summed up in this. A spiritual man, you can go to seed on a lot of things, but it's summed up in this. A spiritual man who not only discerns the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, but disseminates that Word, speaks the Word, and gives us the truth out of the Word of God as directed by the Holy Spirit. And I certainly do believe that this church is blessed to have that man. Jesus said to the disciples, "The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." I don't give you 10 cents for a preacher with personality that does not study. And I'm not too impressed with a guy that can run and slobber that never gives us the word of God. I want somebody who will tell me the truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Our faith is not built unless we're under the sound of the preaching of the word of God. That's simple as I know how to say it. And this is that man right here. So, Brother Jim, come and give us the word.
Well, it's the first time I have preached the message for our commencement, and there's a few firsts. First time I've had the commencement message. It's the first time in 25 years that I've preached in a robe, and I guarantee with this robe, I've already almost fell down once, and I'm going to lose this right away. But I don't want to fall down going up and down these steps and walking around like I usually do. So I'll probably be real good and stay right where I'm supposed to be here. But thank you, Brother Hudson. I'm thankful Brother Hudson's able to be here with us this evening. As of Friday, we didn't know what was going to happen. And fortunately, the doctors were able to place another stent for him. And He tells me he's feeling good. He's feeling great. And I asked you, now tell me it's the truth. And he said, I'm feeling good. So we're thankful for that, thankful for God's mercy and all that, thanking for answered prayer. Well, for this evening's message, I just titled it, "What is a Higher Education?" We can use that terminology, a higher education. You know, education has a obviously a very long and diverse history. And you'll have to forgive me, and I'm a country boy. And they had to bring me in out of the country. One of the biggest questions I had was, can I survive in Fort Worth? But here we are, and God's been good to us. Education has a rather diverse history, and I'm not going to be giving you a history of education tonight. That's not my point. But obviously we understand that there was a time when education, period, was considered a luxury. Something that obviously not everyone had the opportunity or the availability to. And so indeed there was a time when education was considered a luxury. And we've come to the place now where education is pretty much an essential. The standard belief is, and I agree with this, that acquiring as much education as possible is the right thing to do, or the best thing to do. And of course, as we said, I agree with that, for the very most part of that at least. I've often wondered, though, and I tried to do a little research on this, and I often wondered, where did they get that phrase, higher education? Higher education. You know, I thought, well, maybe they're referring to those high, lofty towers, those ivory towers. And I don't think so. But of course, as you do investigate that, you study it out, it just really means to further your education in some way. Well, most of those ivory towers would probably close the gates when they saw this country boy coming, but that's okay. That's okay indeed. Obviously, as we've said, when we're speaking of a higher education, we're talking about taking our education on, furthering it in some way or some capacity. Now, I know I'm revealing my age with this statement, but when we think of education, we usually think of books. Books and education normally go together. And when we think of books, we think of libraries. Most preachers have a library of some extent. And again, that kind of shows my age, because it's in these days you have the opportunity, or even the availability, it'd be a better word, of accessing the libraries of the world with a phone that's in your pocket. It was easy, we were even talking about earlier this evening. Well, you know, King Solomon had something to say about books. You're probably familiar with this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12, he says this, of the making many books there is no end. And indeed, we realize that books are constantly rolling off the presses. Of making books there is no end, and much studiness is a weariness of the flesh. And all you students have liberty to say amen. Weariness of the flesh. Many, if not all, and yours truly included, has fallen asleep on a stack of books along the way in what we call this education process. Well, the question then, what is truly a higher education? What is a true higher education? And I hope you understand, I'm not making light of education. I stand before you with wearing this fancy robe and a doctoral hood, and one night a year, you're allowed to call me Dr. Turner. The other 360 some days, please, I'm just Pastor or Brother Turner. But tonight I'm Dr. Turner. And indeed, I was the first one in my family to graduate from college. First one of the entire family, in our generation at least. And so I strongly encourage every young person here this evening to get as much education as you can. I challenge you, in fact, to if you find a work that you enjoy, then apply yourself to study and learn to do that job to the very best of your ability. Get the education that will enable you to do the very best job you possibly can. Well, my question to this auditorium this evening, my question to us tonight, is what is the highest education you can ever acquire? What is the highest education that you could ever acquire? Beloved, I safely say to you tonight, that is an education in the Word of God. An education in the Scriptures, God's Word. Is a knowledge of the Bible something that we should take or leave, take for granted maybe? Is gaining a knowledge of the Word of God something that just pastors and maybe missionaries, a few teachers, should concern themselves with? Well, obviously, you know I have a different opinion of that. As a Christian this evening, how important is it for us to grow in our understanding, if you will, our education of the Word of God, of the Bible? I'm trying to be sweet, okay? I'll smile when I say it. Can we excuse ourselves for being ignorant of the Bible? Real quiet when I said that. I say that absolutely not. We should not excuse ourselves. We should not take an education of the Word of God for granted. Jesus himself gave himself to grow in the Word of God. Did you know that? Remember the events of Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was inadvertently left behind when his parents were there to celebrate at the feast time in Jerusalem, and they had left him behind. Of course, they searched for those 3 days, and when they found him, where was he? He was in the temple. They found him in the temple, and in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, it says this, "It came to pass that after 3 days, They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. Boy, I felt real good tonight, sitting in the midst of the doctors. I felt like maybe some of that smarts would rub off on me. They found Jesus sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them, getting what he could from them, and asking them questions, the Bible says. And all those that heard him, all those that were around, in verse 47, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. In verse 52 of that same chapter, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. It tells me that he grew in his understanding of the things of God. Now again, that kind of blows our mind, doesn't it? He was God. God the Son and the Son of God. And yet, as we read from the Word of God, he grew in his understanding. He received an education as well from others. Well, secondly in this, we see that a Bible education is an education that we should pursue. A Bible education, educated in the Word of God, is an education that we should pursue. When we consider furthering our education, where should a Bible education figure into that? How should our education in the Word of God be compared to other areas of education? Now, again, we're not minimizing being educated, be able to do a good job or such, but we'll look at that as we go along. Any diligent workman will give himself to learn his trade. He's a wise worker indeed if he gives himself to learn his trade. Whatever his job may be, he will work at learning what he needs to acquire to do his very best, that he indeed might be the very best hand on the job that he can be. That's good. That is important. But why is it then, when it comes to our education of God's holy word, we think we can, and forgive me for saying it this way, I'll smile again, we think we are fulfilling our quote-unquote commitment by showing up at church on Sunday morning? And we're real spiritual if we go to Sunday school and church. And oh my, that's the super spiritual folks that come back on Sunday night. And oh my, we can't even think about how spiritual those folks are that come on Wednesday night. Huh? No, I know I'm being silly, but we take our education of the Word of God, God's holy word, for granted so often. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be satisfied with just a minimal understanding of the Word of God. I don't want to be satisfied with being a Sunday morning Christian, if you will. I want more, beloved. I want more of God's Word. I want more of my God than to be satisfied with just the minimum. You know, I was 22 years when I got saved, and it was just three or four weeks after I got saved that I was taking my first Bible college class. It was insane. I was still trying to find out where John was in the and if I'm a lion, I'm a dying. I didn't know. I couldn't find my way around in the Bible, and there I was sitting in a Romans class, the theology book of the New Testament. And I was over my head after the introductions. I mean, when we introduced ourselves, I was already beyond what I could understand. And so it was a real task in those early days. But I wanted to learn. And 40-some years later, I still want to learn. Huh? My hunger and my thirst to understand the Word of God has not lessened one bit. In fact, the more I learn of the Scriptures, the more I understand I need to learn. Huh? The more we learn of God's Word, the more we realize there's so much more. so much more in this treasure, treasure of truth. And that's where Texas Theological University and Seminary comes in. Just what is this Texas Theological University and Seminary? That's a mouthful, isn't it? How about just saying TTU tonight? What is it all about? Now, again, I know it's a mouthful, but I want you all to know a few things this evening about TTU. Number one, Metropolitan Baptist Church, it's a ministry of your church. TTU is a ministry of this local church. It is your ministry. It is your school. It's not just this few that are maybe sitting on this platform tonight, or these few that are getting degrees. It belongs to the members of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And I've been involved with commencement here for at least 8 years. And every one of those years, we've graduated someone out. And the year I received my doctorate here, I think there was only two of us. But other years, there's more and sometimes less. But I'm thankful for each one of those. In fact, in a few weeks, some of us will be traveling down to Chiapas, Mexico, for our first graduation service, graduation commencement there in Mexico, our umbrella, our school that's under our umbrella there in Mexico. Amen. I'm very so pleased and so thankful for that opportunity. Well, number one, TTU is a Christian university. And again, I'm just going to explain a few things to you. It's a Christian university chartered by the state of Texas to give degrees in our fields of authority, our fields, if you will, of expertise. Now, what's that mean? That means that we give degrees in Bible. We give degrees in theology. I take that back. We don't give degrees. We confer degrees on those that have earned them. But in Bible, theology, missions, and in Christian education. And whether you would pursue a degree or not, many, many of our students just come and sit in classes. Why? Because they want to grow. They want to come to a better understanding of the Word of God. But those different areas of study are areas where we can all expand our understanding of the things of God and the Word of God. You know, it's interesting, even as we say these things about TTU, and a lot of folks probably don't understand this or realize this, but there are few, and very few, independent Baptist colleges in the United States that have more credence than TTU does. It's very interesting. Now, again, some have sought accreditation and so forth, and that's all fine. But there's a lot of colleges in America, Baptist colleges, that would be happy to have the credentials that our school has. You know, it's interesting that I'm not throwing stones this evening, but many of the heralded and leading independent Baptist colleges are blowing literally millions and millions of dollars on campuses and athletic facilities and on and on and on. And the question that haunts my heart is, how does that get one missionary to the field? How does it get one pastor behind a pulpit? What do we need to train people for the ministry? Well, we've got it, folks. Sitting behind me this evening are some extremely qualified professors, and we have others as well. But I don't get impressed with a lot of the things that many do. I mean, in fact, I wonder what all the fuss and the glamour and glitter is about these universities, because it's, again, such a waste of God's money. TTU is a ministry focused on helping our church and other churches get laborers into our God's harvest, into the Lord's harvest field. That's what we're about. Now listen to this. How does the process usually work? What is the traditional, and I'll add this, not necessarily biblical, process to getting laborers into the field, into the work, into the ministry? Well, somewhere along the line, maybe in a missions conference, a special meetings, maybe in the normal ongoing services and ministries of the local church, someone will get fired up about the things of God. God will get a hold of their heart and they feel this, or they're convinced that God wants them to go on into some, as we might say, full-time service. But I want to qualify that, because if you're saved, you're in full-time service. Someone will get fired up, they'll get excited, and surrender to the ministry of some way, in some sort. Well, then the traditional thing is the pastor will recommend a Bible college to them and sends them away. And that fired up believer leaves their church, usually never to return. You say, what? My experience, many, many leave their church, go off to Bible college, never return to that church where God worked in their heart and separated them for the ministry in the first place. Consequences of all that are that the local church loses the blessing of having that person grow and serve in their own local church while they're receiving their training and education in the things of God. The local church sends them off to a college campus where the college campus, and I forgive me for saying it this way, they manufacture ministry to somehow give them practical experience. Which would be the better? Which would be the better? Get first-hand real training in their own local church under the mentoring of their own pastor, the pastor that God used to call them into the ministry, or send them off to a college campus in another part of the country where they'll get simulated training? Well, the whole process is not only unbiblical, it doesn't even make sense. Plus, it costs a fortune. Stick with me. Texas Theological University and Seminary is working very hard to put together a program that will help pastors do that training. That's our goal. That's our burden. Yes, we do have classes right here for our church and churches in our locale that can take advantage of that. But our burden, our desire, is to help pastors where they are to train their Timothys and others for the work. Want to help them. We're working to develop programs of study through the use in these days of the internet. Oh my, the internet's amazing. Where they can study right where they're at. They can take the education, if you will, side of things and get that training underneath the mentoring or the discipling of their own pastor. As a pastor, I very burdened about that. Well, that student then doesn't have to uproot his family or maybe leave behind his family and go off to another part of the country. He's able to stay right in his own church, be a blessing to his church be a blessing to him. And please understand when I use that him, it's the generic sense, him or her. But to be a blessing to them in that way. And they're getting real hands-on ministry training. Well, as we look at this, church, this is your training ministry. TTU belongs to you, church. I'm grateful especially for Pastor Shannon Eaton, such a help. such a tremendous, tremendous help to us in the organizing and administrating of the college over these last couple years. And I appreciate him and not only his help, but his friendship. But church, this ministry belongs to you. And as your pastor, I strongly commend it to you. We want to continue to tailor what we're doing. We want to put together our education process and ministry in such a way that it will enhance and help, number one, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Because you're my people. I'm your pastor. And again, it's my privilege to speak here this evening. But my number one concern is my church and my people and training them. And TTU is an arm of our church to be able to aid missionaries and pastors wherever they might be. Whether it's up in Oklahoma or North Texas you have to show your passport to go into Oklahoma, I believe, isn't it? But wherever they might be, to see young men, young women, and maybe some not so young. I started my training at 22, but I was well into my 30s and 40s when I got my degrees, and I'm still studying. I am still studying. I'm still trying to prepare to better minister, better serve my Christ, my Savior, and of course my church. As we said this evening, we're conveying some degrees on some very dear folks that have labored through TTU to accomplish the requirements for their degree programs. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them and pray that God will use them for His glory until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes. In the coming years, we want to continue that work. We want to continue that work of ministering to precious life, encouraging folks, discipling folks, training folks for the work that God would give to them. Amen? Amen. Brother Curtis, I think it's your turn. Oh.
All right, stand one more time with us, page 108. Page 108, we'll sing the first and third verse.
It may not be on a mountain high or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle front my Lord will have need of me. But if by a soul's voice He calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in Thine, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what You want me to be. On the third, there's surely somewhere a lonely place in heaven's heart feels so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trust it all until to Thy care, I know Thou lovest me. I'll do Thy will, Lord. sincere, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Okay, we have some certificates and some degrees to confer. And with our certificates, Miss Sarah Evans, if you go ahead and take your place. We have several of these, but most of them go to these ones that are sitting on the front aisle. And Miss Sarah actually has several of these that she's taken this year. Miss Sarah, would you come? She gets a certificate for her work in biblical translations and videography. I'm going to have you hand this one over the rail. This one is for Thomas Gaudet in videography. Amen. Then we have a bachelor's degree to confer, Jeffrey Evans. Shay Jeffrey, he's been diligent in his studies for several years with Texas Theological University. And we're conferring on Jeffrey the bachelor degree in missions. Congratulations. Okay. Brother Eaton, would you take your place? Brother Eaton is receiving a doctorate in theology. Before we confer this next degree, I wanted to say a little bit. And you know how preachers are. Miss Doris does not know I'm going to say a little bit. But we're conferring a honorary Doctor of Divinity on Mrs. Doris Davison. And I consider it a great honor to be able to do this evening. Amen. I want to share a little bit about this lady, and she'd be upset if she would have forbid me to do this, but we conspired against you, and or not against you, for you. And you need to know, and most of you, or many of you might not know, the service that this lady has given to her Savior. Again, Doris is the wife of former pastor and foreign missionary Art Davison, who was sent out of Lake Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He was the pastor of three independent Baptist churches in Texas and one in Oklahoma. They were missionaries in Zaire, Africa, working with Dr. Roy Dearmore for years. Dr. Roy just went home to be with the Lord about a year or so ago. And Doris was his scrub nurse in surgery and worked as a midwife for the native women, while her husband Art worked with the men. They have four sons, and with those four sons, they have four daughters-in-law and eight grandchildren, plus a great-granddaughter. Well, on with their ministry. When Africa was closed to Baptist missionaries in 1972, they went on to Brazil for 22 years and worked to establish churches in Sao Paulo, in I'm going to be in trouble with the pronunciation. Fortaleza? Fortaleza? Close enough? And Sierra. These churches are flourishing and producing more churches with native pastors and workers even to this day. Doris and Brother Art joined Metropolitan Baptist Church after resigning his last church in East Texas. They volunteered to go to Thailand and help Brother Tom Gaday out of their church until he returned home on furlough. Within the next year, Brother Art went home to be with the Lord, and that was in 2009. And he was dealing with lung disease, and Doris started working to earn her associate's degree and then her bachelor's degree in missions. She completed them and taught. She has taught for us in the college. She's taught some pastors and preachers' wives and continues to be on our TTU and seminary staff. Brother Art and Doris were married for 48 years. Now, I wanted y'all to know that, and we talked with the leadership of the college many months ago and felt this was the right thing to do. You know, we in a sense, I'm trying to word this rightly. We honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm confident that one day this lady is going to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so what we're doing this evening is here on this side of glory, recognizing faithful service. And so, Sister Doris, if you would come to the platform. By the way, she's one of my heroes along the way. She's a strong lady. And we're conferring, TTU is conferring a Doctorate of Divinity in Miss Doris Davis. Congratulations.
One last time, please take your hymnals, stand, page 39, and let's sing it all.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not of my wood I withhold, not of my wood I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at thy feet is treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Thank you. All may be seated.
Our graduates are still standing, and the normal is to turn the tassel at this moment. There's a lot we could say about the tassel, but the graduation tassel simply is a symbol of the success of the candidate in their efforts and studies. I feel like after what we just heard, we all ought to be standing trying to earn a tassel with this lady who we just gave the degree to. Let me just say one thing, Brother Jim. That's the very first honorary degree that we've given in any of our graduation services since I've been here in 12 years. And it's not a paper mill. If you'd ever taught a class with Doris Davison in it, you'd know she earned this degree. So that's aside the point. We're talking about tassels, the success symbol. I was thinking about, you see these high school graduates with a tassel hanging on their mirror in the car or on their wall or on a picture of their graduation. And there's nothing wrong with looking back and saying, here's what I've done. Two of these folks won't turn the tassel because they've already earned their tassels. And honestly, Jeff doesn't have to turn the tassel because he's already got a tassel. But Jeff, you can turn your tassel now from left to right. And by that, we say, we recognize your efforts and your standard, and we are recognizing you in the eyes of all of these folks here as being a full-fledged TTU graduate with all the honors that that bestows. And you can go down to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee for a dollar. All right, let's stand. Brother Shannon. Shannon, coming up.
Let's close in a word of prayer. Before we do, I do want to say this, that we don't realize, you Metropolitan, maybe you don't realize what you have here. And Brother Turner is right. It's a university. It's not a college. Universities such as University of Texas Austin, Texas A&M University, Texas Tech University, as far as Texas is concerned, we're in the same category. It means something, and that's what people don't understand. We have graduates who have left here and went and got secular jobs with their degrees. The City of Fort Worth Police Department, Lockheed Martin. It's an honor, it's a privilege. We're not just a college, we're a university. Be proud of that. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, and we are truly proud of the fact that we stand as a university. Father, even though we recognize it as a secular mark, we do recognize that you've placed it here. And we're thankful for that. So, Father, tonight, let us come together and continue to grow and to build and to move forward in the training of young men and women everywhere. Help us, Father, to be good stewards of the information we have and to send it forth through the transmission lines, the internet, and be able to confer on our students the degrees that they so willingly deserve, because they've earned them, they've worked for them. Father, tonight, pray that you'd be with the reception, be with the food that's going to be served, the cake. Father, be with the fellowship. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm supposed to hang on. I'm supposed to announce the reception. Y'all didn't tell me that. There is a reception through these doors in the gym. We want you to come look at the tables, and I want you to come look at my pictures when I had hair. Amen. I really did when I was younger. But the reception is right through those doors. Follow us as we follow Jesus. Amen.